Good morning, everyone. Hope you had a good 4th of July weekend with your family and friends. For most of us, it's probably been a busy one, but a fun one. And just a wonderful time of being outdoors, even though it's a little hot. And air conditioning always feels good. Feels good in here this morning. I wanted to say a little bit about Sam and the youth being at Ivana Regen Conference this weekend. Sam texted the ministry team this morning and said told us about some wonderful things that have been happening. And if you look at the Facebook page, he's also posted a couple videos of their worship time and things like that. So pray for them. I think today's the last day, and then they will be heading home tomorrow. Let's turn in our Bibles together this morning to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We're currently in this 5-week message series titled Jesus, Miracle Worker. And we've been looking at many of the miracles of Jesus that are recorded in the gospel. There are 37 of them. I hope you've kept that paper put in boxes at the very beginning of this series that has a list of all 37 of those and the scripture or gospel references where you can find them. If you didn't get one or you would like to have an extra one or whatever, there's still some down on the table, small table in the foyer. Of course, we can't look at all 37 of them, but each Sunday we're going to be looking at 3 or 5 or so of them and considering not only what they meant 2,000 years ago, as well as what they mean today for us as we think about the miracle-working power of Jesus and God in our lives. In the scriptures that we heard just read, that Dory and Larry read for us, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man, that was in Matthew 17, suffered from seizures, and the disciples tried to deliver those demons out, and of course, they couldn't do it. And Jesus said they didn't have enough faith. And then, of course, in Mark 6, the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee. Excuse me. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And our main scripture text today in Luke 8 actually begins with an earlier occurrence on that same Sea of Galilee when Jesus and his disciples were also in a boat, and they were headed to the other side of the lake or the sea. And so we're going to be reading chapter 8, verse 20, starting in verse 22 and reading to verse 29. I'm reading from the NIV this morning, but in my studying of this passage this week, I went back and forth between the NLT, New Living Translation, and the NIV. So some of the slides today are going to be NLT. And may not exactly be the same wording as what you're going to hear from the NIV here. So let's begin in verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, and so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." And so they sailed to the region across the sea. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained and chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away and saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." And so the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The first question we ask of this text this morning is, you know, what was the context in which this trip to the Gerasenes took place? At the beginning of chapter 8, if you look a little bit before what we read this morning, it says that Jesus was traveling from, during this time, was traveling from one town and village to another in the land of Galilee, or the area of Galilee. He was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and many, many people were starting to follow him around. We've talked about that in the past, talking about these miracles and how many people were starting to follow him because word was spreading. And so one day, Jesus, he suggests to the 12 disciples that they get into this boat and they head out to the other side of the lake, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This was going to take them to a whole new territory. And really, not only a whole new territory, but it was a whole new group of people to reach. Because this area across the sea was an area where Gentiles lived, not Jews, as in Galilee. And so the good news of Jesus the Messiah was going to be able to spread to this region of, instead of just this region of Galilee, it was going to spread to what they called at that time the Decapolis. And so they set out in a boat. Now, one thing to remember here is that many of Jesus' disciples were fishermen who fished on the Sea of Galilee often before they were called to follow Jesus. And so, not only are they familiar with these boats, but they would be familiar with the things that can happen on the Sea of Galilee, the weather that can come up in a matter of minutes. When I was there some years ago, the Sea of Galilee has a mountain range on the west side, and there's a big valley on the one side there, and the wind, this is what causes those storms, the wind comes whipping through that valley and comes down into the sea, and that is what, you know, causes these storms on the Sea of Galilee to happen. But Jesus is tired. You know, he's worn out from all of these crowds that have been following him around, and so he falls asleep in the back of the boat. He's going to take this opportunity for going across the sea to catch up on some rest. The disciples panic when this terrible storm comes up and develops. The water starts to come into the boat, it seems like, and it seems that they are afraid of even sinking. So it had to be a terrible storm. And so they wake Jesus up and they say, Master, we're going down. Jesus must have been very, very tired, because it seems like it would be hard to sleep through a storm like this. I mean, if it was causing that much fear in the disciples and water was coming on the boat and so on. So Jesus must have been very tired. He was asleep. And it's not like in those days, the boats in those days didn't have the dry and secure sleeper cabins that some boats today have. So most likely he's out in the storm or out in the wind and the waves that are whipping around. But Jesus gets up and immediately he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the storm and the waves. And it says that everything became still. In verse 24, it said that all was calm. Imagine how impactful that would be if you're one of the 12 disciples and you go from this terrible storm and then all of a sudden, Jesus wakes up and rebukes it and it's calm. They were amazed, it's obvious, because they looked at each other and in the verse it says, who is this? I mean, before this, they said, Master. So they have, you know, they're following Jesus. They have an idea of who he is. But here, they're like, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What did Jesus ask them in that moment? He said, where is your faith? That's a common theme in the verses that we've heard read this morning. Where is your faith? You know, as they're learning to be disciples of Jesus and what that means, they are learning that faith in his miracle working power is an important part of being his disciple. That same truth is for us today as well. How many times have you felt overwhelmed or overcome by something going on around you, and you know, your immediate response is to worry, to fret, or to panic like the disciples did here? I mean, we live in a world where chaos seems to be everywhere. From wars in our world to violence in our streets to catastrophes like we prayed about in Texas just this weekend, to broken families and broken relationships. And it's been that way, you know, since the beginning of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be that way until Jesus returns and ushers in a new heaven and a new earth. And so we need to remember where to turn to when we have to deal with the chaos in this world and find peace in the midst of a world that is racked by sin and evil. In this situation, though, Jesus shows his power over creation. His miracle here is something only he can do. But he's showing his disciples that they can call on him and his power by having faith that he's going to show up and he's going to bring deliverance. And in this case, he brought calm. In the other Sea of Galilee miracle, we heard read earlier of Jesus walking on the water in Mark 6. Jesus said, in that passage, he said, "Take courage. It's I." It's not a ghost. He said, it's not a ghost, because they thought that Jesus was a ghost, you know, when they saw him walking out on the water. He said, "Don't be afraid." And again, he said, "Have faith. Trust in me. I can bring you peace in the midst of your storm or chaos." In Matthew 17, his disciples asked, you know, why they couldn't heal the boy that Jesus had just healed. Again, do you remember what Jesus' response was there? He said, "Because you have so little faith." He went on to talk about how small a mustard seed is, and just a little bit of faith can grow into something huge. And so perhaps we need to ask ourselves, bringing this into our context today, what fear or what situation makes you feel like your boat is taking on water and you're drowning? Have you put your faith in the one who can calm the seas, calm the storm, and bring about deliverance? Or are you trying to do it yourself? You know, just bailing buckets of water out of the boat, hoping you're going to be able to survive it on your own. In both of these miracles on the sea that we heard this morning, Jesus calms the storm and the winds, and the disciples are completely amazed. But what was the one common denominator? Jesus was with them. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus came walking on the water to them. Jesus was the one that brought peace. You see, Jesus, the miracle worker, did what they thought was impossible. And so this morning, I want to ask, you know, if you had to name one thing in your life right now, that one thing that you think is just impossible, what would it be? Take a just a short time here to think about that. One thing in your life right now that seems impossible. What is it? Could be a health situation. Maybe it's a troubled marriage, a relationship with a son or a daughter. Maybe it's a work situation that you're in. Maybe it's a faith and trust issue. Maybe it's a financial challenge that you're up against. What storm do you seem to be in the middle of? Whatever it is, you know, whatever comes to your mind when you think of that question, the first thing that I would ask is, have you placed your faith and your hope of that matter in the hands of Jesus? I mean, we're seeing in these weeks here, you know, Jesus can heal wounds. He can calm storms, and he can help you to find peace in whatever chaos that you find yourself in the middle of. Well, let's go back to the story here. After the storm is calmed in Luke 8, they eventually reach the Gentiles' shore on the other side where they're headed. And when Jesus sets foot on the Gentile shore, this demon-possessed man is there to meet him. I mean, this man, it sounds like, had fallen into such deep misery from these demons that I'm not sure we can even personally think of someone today who is this distraught and hopeless. I mean, maybe we can. Maybe you know someone. I'm sure there are some. But it says that he is naked, and he has been for a long time. It says he had not lived in a house for a long time. In fact, he wasn't even only not living in a house. He was living in the graveyard, among the tombs. It says that he had been in chains even at one time. But he had escaped those, and his demons just had him living in these lonely, solitary places. But here he comes, and he falls at the feet of Jesus. Now, we get the impression that it is his voice speaking, but that it's the demons that are controlling him. And he knows who Jesus is, or the demons know who Jesus is. They say, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And when Jesus asked his name, he said his name was what? Legion. That's an interesting name, because a legion in those days in the Roman army consisted of 6,000 soldiers. I don't know if that means there were 6,000 demons in him, but obviously it implies that there were a lot of demons that this man was dealing with. He was very ill and very, very sick. When we think of storms in life, we often think of those around us. But sometimes people become completely overwhelmed by something inside of them. This man had demons to deal with, and demons are very real, even today. But sometimes people are also dealing with an inner battle within themselves, or they're being tormented in their soul by Satan. And at times it can be a battle for the heart of a person, soul of a person. Sometimes it's the battle of the mind. Some years ago, Joyce Meyer wrote a book that was titled Battlefield of the Mind. And in that book, you know, she explored the power of our thoughts and the impact that they can have on our spiritual and our emotional well-being. She said those negative thoughts, which are influenced by Satan, can lead to destructive thoughts and behaviors and attitudes. And she encouraged us to align our thoughts with biblical truths and the presence of Jesus to achieve peace, joy, and victory in life. In other words, have faith in what the promises of Scripture, and have faith in Jesus. But anyway, this man comes to Jesus, and as we've looked at and heard, he was inflicted in many ways. It was probably body, soul, and mind for this man. I mean, he needed deliverance. And the demons knew that Jesus could provide it. The demons are pleading for Jesus not to send them into the abyss. And in the book of Revelation, the abyss is referred to as a place of confinement for Satan and his messengers. And so the demons, they knew about this. They knew about this place, and they didn't want to be sent there. Don't send us into the abyss. And so they asked Jesus to send them into that herd of pigs over there on the hillside nearby. What a sight. What a sight that must have been. The demons come out of this man in some way or manner. It probably could be seen, or the people watching knew. And they go into these pigs, and they immediately rush down the hillside and into the Sea of Galilee. It's hard to know exactly what that looked like. Didn't say exactly how many pigs there were. I mean, how big is a herd? I don't know. But if you Google that for a picture, it's interesting. Some of the pictures you come up with, There was one picture where the pigs are all falling off this huge cliff down into the sea. There's other pictures where they're just kind of running out into the sea, you know, doesn't really matter. But the owners of these pigs, imagine how you're feeling if you're the owner. What's going on here? I mean, the owners immediately go into town. They start telling people what has happened. And so people start to head out to see what had happened. When I read that, I have to wonder, did the people go out to see dead pigs floating in the water? Or did they go out to see this man who was delivered and set free by the miraculous power of Jesus? Maybe there were some of both. There probably were. But either way, it caused such fear in them that they asked Jesus to leave and go back to Galilee. Get out of here, they said. Now, of course, that's a big mistake on their part. But Jesus obliges. And this man who was healed asks if he can go with him. Instead of going back to Galilee with him, Jesus tells him to go to his family, go to your friends, and tell them about what God has done for you. And you see, this is how the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the miracle worker, began to spread in the Decapolis area and among the Gentiles in that area, in that region. So what can we learn from this dramatic story that applies to our life and the lives of those in our world today? The first thing is that no matter how dark or deep someone sinks in this life, no matter how long they have been bound by those chains, Jesus has the power to break them and to bring forth a new and changed life. Someone needs to hear that this morning. It might be you that needs to hear it. It might be someone in your family that you need to realize that about. It might be a friend, a coworker, or a neighbor. You know, too often, if it's someone who has struggled with an addiction of some sort or a mental illness or some other maybe harmful habit, we have a tendency to say or to think, oh, that person's never going to change. Or they can never change, that's just how they are. Or the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. In other words, you know, what people mean by that when they say that is, it's a long tradition in their life or in their family. Jesus isn't interested in that kind of talk or thought process. Jesus wants to change people. Jesus wants to heal people. Jesus wants to deliver people and set them free from the oppression that Satan is weighing them down with. You know, the 4th of July was on Friday. We celebrate the birth of the United States of America, our country. And we often, on the 4th, will speak of how thankful we are for the freedoms that we have. And we should. I mean, it is a blessing for sure to live in a free country or a free place. But the difference with Jesus' kind of freedom is Jesus has the power to bring freedom that can be experienced by anyone in any country, no matter how free their government is or is not. You see, Jesus brings a personal freedom that sets us free from the power of sin and death. A freedom that brings peace, even in the midst of chaos. And you know, the reason that we have so many miracles of Jesus listed in the Gospels is to reveal who he is and what he came to do. I mean, we read them today, and we're reminded of that. Yes, he had compassion for those who needed healing and those who were broken and lost, like this demon-possessed man. But these miracles were also to show his divine power as the Messiah and show us why his call for us to follow him and to believe in him is so important. I mean, Jesus didn't go around doing these things as some kind of a magic trick or a staged performance. He did them to demonstrate his power over nature, over disease, over demons, and even over death itself. We're going to get to that one in 2 Sundays from now when we end this series on miracles talking about resurrection power. But in some sense, this man in our passage today was resurrected as well. I mean, you know, he wasn't resurrected from death to life, but he was resurrected from a hopeless life to a hope-filled life. I'm always very interested, as are many other people, when someone shares a dramatic testimony of how Jesus has changed their life and, you know, transformed them into a new creation. And you would imagine that this man in our text today, that he went around sharing his testimony to many people, and they were intrigued by it. They were very interested in hearing his life-changing testimony. How did they know he wasn't telling, you know, just telling a story? Well, they heard about those pigs. They heard about those pigs that went into the Sea of Galilee, so they knew something had happened. I think it's an encouragement for us to share our story today, so that other people can come to know Jesus and find the peace that he can bring. Some of us may say, oh, I don't have a dramatic testimony like that to share. But you know what? We all have a testimony to share if you have been saved from sin by Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a dramatic testimony. And that's a testimony, that's something a lot of people still need in our world. And so, you know, we should be sharing it. We should be talking about it. Well, as we end this morning, let's go back to the thing that you thought of at the beginning when I asked you that question, to think of something in your life that, you know, seems impossible to either overcome or impossible to fix. You know, what did you think of? I think the bigger question, as we think about all of this, the bigger question for us is, are you going to have faith that Jesus can help you defeat it and overcome it? Are you going to trust that he will bring forth a miraculous change in your life or in the person or situation that came to your mind? He can. I mean, we're seeing the miraculous power of Jesus these weeks that we're talking and looking at these things. He can and he will if we have faith. And if we continue to trust in him. And if we continue to take those needs to him in prayer. That's one of the things we see in the two stories today that we looked at in our main text. The disciples, they went to Jesus because they needed help. This man went to Jesus because he needed help. You see, he can change the chaos of life in this world into the peace that only Christ can bring to us. And You know, many places in Scripture, in the Bible, we are told that with God, nothing is impossible. And so I hope and I pray that as we think about these things, that will be our ongoing proclamation in life as followers of this miracle worker that we follow in Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's do that. Let's stand together and we'll end today. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll ask Him to hear us and to be near us. Lord, thank You for each one here this morning. And Lord, I'm not sure what came to our mind as we heard these miracles of Jesus today. I'm not sure what came to our mind as we thought in our own lives what seems impossible. What have we labeled an impossibility to happen? And Lord, if we have labeled something impossible, have we forgot about Your miracle-working power? Have we forgot the many testimonies we have, not only in Scripture, but in the world today of people who have been changed, transformed in the name of Jesus? And so, Lord, I pray that whatever it is that this brings to our mind today, I pray that we would have faith, that we would trust in Jesus, that we would bring it to Jesus and say, I'm tired of just bailing water out of this boat, trying to get out of this chaos or this problem on my own. I need You, Lord. I need You to help me, to be with me through this, and to bring about and bring forth Your miracle power, that something I think is impossible can happen. So Lord, I pray that each of us would make that an important part of our life as we face the various things that we face in this world. And Lord, I pray that You go with us as we go out of this place today, as we enter into this month of July, halfway through another year. Lord, I pray that You bless the time of fellowship today, the food that has been brought. May Your blessing be upon that, and may You just bless the time of fellowship that You grant to us as Your church. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show His favor and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless everyone. Have a great day and a great week ahead.